Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
All right. Hey, take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Judges. This is the last series in Samson, wasted opportunity, wasted life. Somebody asked me this morning, hey, when are we killing off Samson? That'd be today. We're going to talk about another death next week, but he's got a different ending than Samson. So got to get us ready for that. So this is the fifth part of this series. If you've missed it, it's on our website, the video is, or our podcast on iTunes. Judges 16, excuse me, I'll be there in just a moment. If you're a college football fan, I'm a huge college football fan, especially if you've got a few years on you, you might remember the name Marcus Dupree, okay? Marcus Dupree, in the early 80s, was one of the most sought after, high school seniors. I mean, just had some unbelievable athleticism. They thought he would be like in the league of Earl Campbell or, Herschel Walker or, all right, Warwick Dunn for the Seminole fans, just to make you feel better. Visitors, you always get a reaction when you say that. So he was an unbelievably talented. He was recruited heavily. It was a sad day for me when he did not sign with the Crimson Tide. He went to the University of Oklahoma. Sad day. Well, his first year was an unbelievable year, even though he didn't start many games. About the fourth or fifth game, they just saw, man, he's got unbelievable potential. And he rushed, even only when he only started the third or fourth game, he rushed for over 1,000 yards. And that's in the era when freshmen didn't really play, really true freshmen. They didn't play a lot, but he was unbelievably talented. Second team, All-American. I mean, people were writing all kinds of things about him. This guy had unbelievable potential. Well, between the end of the season and when they reported for the bowl game, he had gained 15 pounds. Always be careful when you go to your mother's for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, that happens to us anyway, right? 15 pounds. They couldn't hardly play him in the Fiesta Bowl. He was out of shape. He made some poor choices. They put him in. They took him out. But still, the press was unbelievably, excited about the potential of Marcus Dupree. He shows up for his sophomore season. All the hype is there again. He plays about four games, and he gets hurt. And after he gets hurt, he just disappears. The people from the University of Oklahoma, they can't even find him anywhere. They can't locate him, and he just disappears for about a week, and it was just really odd. And then all of a sudden, he shows back up at the University of Oklahoma, and he makes the announcement, I'm transferring to the University of Southern Mississippi, okay? So he's out that year. Then you have to sit out another year, so it's finally the year that he's to play for the University of Southern Mississippi. They're all very excited about this really talented young man who's going to be playing for Southern Miss. But he never saw the field for Southern Miss. People talking to him, saying things, you can go pro and all of that. And he never took the field again in a college, in a college uniform. So he signs, not with the NFL, but he signs with the USFL, kind of an upstart pro league. And, just kind of meanders through a year or so. He finally gets hurt. And he's out of the USFL, and people are just writing all these articles, about him. Finally, in a chance meeting with Walter Payton from the Chicago Bears, Walter encourages him, look, if you'll get yourself ready, I will make sure you have an opportunity to try out for a team or whatever. And so Marcus Dupree took that very serious. But one problem, he had to lose over 100 pounds in order to be able to get that, to get that tryout for the NFL. He just really, in all kinds of ways, He just let himself go. He kind of played a little bit here and there for the NFL and then finally just retired. A few years ago, ESPN did a 30 for 30, if you're familiar with that, you know, that type show. And the title of it was very sad, was The Best That Never Was. The best that never was. All this athleticism, all of this God-given talent, but yet his mistakes and errors over the long period of time cost him, you know, maybe the College Football Hall of Fame or the NFL Hall of Fame. Well, it's a very similar story when we come to Samson, kind of the final chapter in the life of Samson. So he was given, you know, this great parents. The angel told him, you know what? You're going to be the deliverer of Israel from the Philistines. I'm going to empower you. If you'll just live this certain way, I'm going to help you over the course of time. But Samson, in the midst of this great opportunity and this great, you know, pathway that God had provided for him, Samson made some poor, very poor decisions. Let's look at some of those. He persisted in a relationship that was not good for him, hung out in places he should not be, kept secrets from his family, had a broken marriage, had an explosive temper, had issues with forgiveness and revenge, slept with a prostitute, entered an unwise relationship with Delilah, broke his Nazarite covenant. This guy, at every turn, he made a bad decision. So we started the story last week of Delilah, and I'm going to bring you to that verse in a moment. So he meets Delilah in Gaza, and the scripture says he's in love. He loves Delilah, but Delilah, the leaders of the Philistines said, look, we want to find the secret of Samson's strength, so we're going to pay you. We'll pay you when you find out the secret of his strength. So Samson's in it for love, but she's in it for money. This is a bad relationship. So she keeps trying to find the secret of his strength. So Samson, what's the secret of your strength? And he said, you know, hey, if you put ropes on my hand, fresh ropes, that's the secret of my strength. I'll never be able to break those ropes. So when he goes and spends the night at her house, she wraps his arms in ropes. And then says, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines come in. Samson sees it. He snaps those ropes off and, you know, runs those Philistines out. That wasn't the answer. Delilah's very upset. So she comes back again. He comes over another night to spend the night. Samson, you didn't tell me the truth. What is the secret of your strength? He said, if you braid my hair, I will not, you know, that is the secret of my strength. So he goes to sleep in her lap. She braids his hair. Men, always look out when your wives want to braid your hair. That's always trouble. Always trouble. So she wakes. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines rush in. He throws them off again because that wasn't it. And man, she is really irritated with him. She is crying. She is upset. You're not being honest with me. What is the secret of your strength? And he says, you know, if you cut my hair, that is the secret of my strength. Look at verse 19 of chapter 16. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off seven braids of hair. And so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. And she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Wow. Wow. So he's captured by the Philistines. What can we learn? What can we learn from this? Spiritual neglect and disobedience to God will eventually catch up with you. Spiritual neglect and disobedience to God will eventually catch up to you. So he wakes up and thinks, this will just be like any other day. We've seen him over the past couple weeks. Anytime he kind of got himself into trouble, he was able to get himself, you know, get himself out of trouble. So he's just thinking this will kind of be the normal, you know, this is kind of, it'll just be another day. I'll just throw them, you know, just throw them off, because spiritual compromise and cutting corners spiritually were just a regular part of his life. But today was going to be a little different, because out of years of spiritual neglect, not listening to God, not obeying God, now it's finally caught up with him. Wow. I'll go out, that's his thought, I'll go out and shake myself free just like before. I'll throw it off, it'll just be another day. Now listen to me. People have the wrong idea sometimes when they live a life of disobedience, but their world does not collapse, then somehow they begin to think, you know, that God may be okay with this or God may not be watching. I haven't seen God's judgment, so everything must be okay. I want to say to you this morning, listen to me. There is a day of reckoning coming for you for the choices and the decisions you have made to disobey God. There's a day of reckoning that's coming. Samson had built this life kind of without God. See if this sounds familiar to some of you. Yeah, he knew about God. He was raised, you know, raised in a home that believed in God, but yet he had kind of constructed this life that he was living without God, without faith. He didn't pray, worship the temple, no dependency on God. There was no emergencies in his life. So he built kind of this life, even though there was this kind of belief in God, he had built this life where there was no dependency, no relationship with God, you know, nothing at all. Built somewhat of a life that was Godless, all right? Just kind of knew about him, but there was nothing very practical in his day-to-day life about that. Spiritual neglect over the time to time will cost you. Now look at this sentence. So it says he's going to go out, he's going to shake himself just like he's done every other time. And this sentence, wow, it should really get our attention. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He did not know that the Lord had left him. So let's look at that sentence for a moment, but I want to look at the back end of that sentence first. The Lord had left him. Now let me say this to you. God does not impose himself upon you or force himself upon you. He doesn't. He comes into your life by invitation only. He gives us the moral choice and freedom to make decisions to serve God or not to serve God, to obey God or not to obey God. He gives us spiritual self-determination. He leaves that, you know, he leaves that up to you. The Lord had left him. Let me walk through this, all right? So Romans says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? All right? So let me just say something to you. It doesn't matter what you've done, how much you've done, how long you have done it, Jesus always loves you. Isn't that great? I mean, if you're a parent, you kind of get that. You know, sometimes you want to pinch their little heads sometimes, but you still love them. God still loves you. There's not an issue of whether God loves you or not, but you come to the point in your life where you keep going, hey, God, I got this. Hey, God, I got this. Hey, God, I'll make this choice. I'll make this decision. Hey, God, I'll do this myself. And it comes to the place where the Lord says, you got it? Okay. You got it. You got it. You want it? You want to make all the choices? You want to make all the decisions? You want to, you know, live your own life? I got it. And you know what? God will just back up. God will just back up. He'll let you do it. You want to make your own decisions? You want to choose your own way? You want to construct a life without God in it? You are free to do that. The Lord left him. Samson, every time someone or God had given him direction, every time Samson said, you know, I'll do my own thing. I'll live my own way. And there came a point in time that God said, all right, you got it. You got it. And I want to say that to you this morning. You keep going to the Lord. Hey, I got this. I'll make my own choice here. I'll make my own decision here. Thank you, but no thank you. Then you know what? There's a time that God will go, all right, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I'll always love you. I'll always love you. I'll be as close. All you have to do is whisper my name. But you want to go for a season on your own? You got it. And that's where Samson was at. The Lord had left him. Now look, let's put that sentence back together. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He did not know. So after his final act of disobedience, which they cut his hair, Samson still expected God to be with him. Still thought everything's good, everything's fine. My sin and my disobedience doesn't mean anything to God. Doesn't affect our relationship with God. We're cool. We're good. What I'm doing, it doesn't affect anything. He didn't know. Listen to me. Sometimes we judge our life by life circumstances. Like, so if I have a good job or the money is good or my relationships are good, then we think every part of our life is okay, except for the fact that there might be some spiritual deterioration in our life and some spiritual atrophy, and maybe God has taken a posture of going, hey, you know what? You want it? You got it. And we don't even know it. We don't even know that God's just kind of said, you know, go your own way. Do your own thing. I'll always love you. Serving God and fulfilling God's call was the furthest thing from his mind. He never thought about that. Why? Because years of disobedience had hardened his heart and deafened his ear, and the Spirit of the Lord had left him, and he didn't even know it. Some of you, you may be in that same place. The Lord has postured himself and said, you want it? You got it. But yet you think all is good. All is good. The Lord's not offended with the way I'm living or what I'm doing because my world hasn't collapsed. Listen, you better be thankful. That's the mercy of God working in your favor. You better be thankful. So the Lord had left him, and he didn't even know it. He had no idea. Look at verse 21. Let's learn some other things about his time with the Philistines. Then the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, look at this. Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain. Remember what Samson did? While they were high in spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. So what else can we learn from this? Samson pays a hard price for the choices that he made. He pays a hard, harsh price. The bill has come due. All that he thought he was getting away with, now that day of reckoning for Samson has now occurred. So look what they did. They gouged his eyes out. All right, but that just wasn't, that's much more, it sounds brutal, but it's much worse because they took a really kind of a molten red hot iron and they jammed it back where it just scarred and burned both of his eyes. And then they, he got in trouble in Gaza. Remember we talked about Gaza last week, that if you go to places where there is trouble, trouble will find you. So here he is back in Gaza again. He finds himself in prison grinding grain. Grinding grain. And probably that meant, you know, back then they had the grain wheel that was very circular. They would put the grain under this heavy stone, and they would roll this heavy stone over the grain. But normally what they did is they would take a donkey and they would tie it to a stick extended from that stone, and that donkey would just go for hours and hours. And here's Samson on the other end of the stick taking the donkey's place, grinding grain. And then they throw a party. They're so excited. They're so excited that they finally caught Samson, that all the Philistines, they throw this big party with thousands of people that came just so they could celebrate the fact that Samson had been caught. It was huge. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. They said there came a point in time, and they said, bring him up and let him perform for us. Let him perform. So here he is. Eyes gouged, chains and shackles, bronze chains and shackles, and they probably played music and made him kind of dance. The ultimate kind of degradation, you know, to him. Wow. He pays a hard price for the choices that he made. They laughed at him, they mocked him, they hated him, they made sport of him. He was supposed to be the deliverer, but yet he's serving as the entertainment for the party. Wow. Now let's learn something from this too, all right? Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, but that doesn't mean we escape the consequences of our sin, okay? He paid the penalty for our sin. So let me say to you this morning, I don't care what you've done in your life or how long you have done it or how far away from God that you feel like you may be this morning. There is forgiveness and hope and restoration through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. God will restore you. God will change your heart. But you know what? But we still answer for the consequences of the decisions that we've made before that. Sometimes people think, if God forgives me, then the consequences are washed away. And I say, not necessarily. Sometimes even when God forgives us, there are consequences to our behavior and our actions. So I'm in ninth grade. I go to school one morning, and I'm walking to the school. My mom dropped me off, wasn't old enough to drive. And so some friends, they were seniors, and they said, hey, Nugent, come on, let's skip school today. It's the day before Thanksgiving break. They don't have anything planned. And have you ever like heard something that you knew was bad? You just knew it was bad. And I was like, no. Come on, there's nothing planned. Just go ahead and come with us. And I'm like, okay, well, there's nothing planned. So, you know, so I get in the car and I shut the door. And, you know, you ever get those like bad feelings? Like, I just shouldn't be here. I should not be here. This is bad news. All the way around, it's bad news. I knew that. So we take off. And so the first thing we do, I said, what are we doing? Well, we don't have any plans. We're just going to drive around. Okay, well, whatever. We go to the store. We get some Cokes. We get some snacks, you know. And then one guy thinks he sees his mother. So we all dive, you know, in the car. And we make the determination, or they make the determination, that we're just going to hide down a dirt road and just wait till the end of school. So it's like 9 o'clock. We're sitting in the woods. I'm like, we're doing this for 5 hours. This is what I risk my freedom for. This, you know, there's no lunch. I'm just bored out of my mind, and I'm mad. Like, what? I'm so stupid. I knew better than this. I just knew better than this. So it's like 2 o'clock. We sat there all day. It was like the most boring day. I'm like, I'm done with this. This is what skipping school is. It's nothing, you know. So we just decided we would drive back about two blocks from the school, kind of park, get close to the school. And right before the bell rang, we would all go. You know, my mom would pick me up. It's Thanksgiving weekend. So that was the plan. So we're just sitting there. You know, probably about, you know, a couple blocks away from the school, just sitting there watching the clock. I'm going, this was like the worst day of my life. This is terrible. All of a sudden, over the hill, a police car comes with a siren going, lights flashing, and on the intercom, he says, get out of the car with your hands up. Oh, my God. I mean, now, I wasn't serving God. I get out. My little hands are shaking. I'm 15 years old. You know, I'm like, you know, this is pretty extreme for skipping school. And, you know, we're all just standing there, you know. And he says, what are you boys doing? So the older guy said, well, we go to vocational school, and we got back just a little early before class. So we were just hanging out. Like, vocational school, where did you get that? You know, I got my hands up, and he said, no, you're not. He said, see that house over there? You guys were fixing to break into that house, weren't you? Listen, the air just left my lungs. The woman comes out of the house, and she goes, that's the boys. They were going to break into my house, which immediately at that point, we confess to skipping school, okay? We're skipping school. No, you're not. He's got his hand on his gun. He's pacing back and forth. Said, I know what you boys are doing. Listen, I had tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God. He said, all right, what's in the car? I'm like, nothing. You know, it's just books. What's in your pocket? It's a number two pencil. That's all I got. You know, put your hands on the car. Spread them. I'm going to pat you down. Let me just tell you something. When his hand touched me, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was filled with the Holy Spirit right then. Turned my life over to God, confessed all my sins that I had done and was about to do. Oh, my goodness. I said, no, you're not. He said, so, all right. So he took our names down and our phone numbers. And he said, all right. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to let you go, but I'm calling your parents when you get home. Listen, I'd rather gone to jail. Then get that phone call. I'm just shaking. I swear I will never, ever skip school again. It's not worth it. I walk up, get my mom's car. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, just drive. Just start driving. I go home. I take the phone off the hook for like 3 days. Some of you don't even know what that is. That police officer, I mean, it was a small town, so I'd see him all the time. And he held my phone number, never called, held it over, just like, at any time, I just call you anytime. He could call my mother today and really, really make her sad. Let me just tell you something. When you do stupid things, there are consequences that go with your behavior, and God will forgive you of those, but you will bear the consequences of your sin. So I'm saying to you, avoid the day of reckoning, turn to Jesus, live for Him, live by God's word, and you'll never be sorry. I gave this to you a couple weeks ago. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever want to pay. It's not worth it, folks. The consequence of that is not worth it. So here's Samson, blind, in chains, dancing like some foolish clown to the music that they're playing. How far did he come from when the angels said, hey, this is my son. I got a plan for him. Let's look at Samson's final scene. After they got through kind of making him dance, he said to the servant, hey, would you place me in between the two pillars of the temple? And one of the servants did. And he's got his hands on the pillars. Look at verse Look at verse 28. It said, Samson prayed to the Lord. Only the second time we see him calling out to the Lord. Look what he says. Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Blind, shackled, mocked. He calls out to God. And the prayer to me is very sad. Lord, remember me. That just kind of breaks my heart, you know. It had been so long since he had prayed. And he had done so many bad things in between that he just thought God had forgotten him. He just, Lord, remember me. Do you remember me? Is that where some of you are at this morning? Man, it's just been so long since you've called on God. There's been so much junk, so much waste, so much poor decision that somewhere in your mind you just feel like God's forgotten you. Wow. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you've blown it. Some things you knew better and you just kind of blew it. Or maybe you're the prodigal. The one that was raised in church. This scene right here, like Sunday morning, is not strange to you. You were kind of raised in this, and you look at your life now, and it's so far from where you've started. This wasn't your plan or your intention. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home, and you just kind of wanted to see what it was like to live the other life. And now there are consequences for those decisions. Maybe you're not sure if there is a God. Maybe you're kind of wrestling with some of that. Maybe because of your secular academics, maybe it's made you think, you know, twice about God and the reality of God. Maybe you were one that just over a period of time, you just made a little bad decision here and there, but you're so far away from what you ever thought, you know, in your life. You just find yourself like Samuel. Wow, God, remember me? Do you remember me? It's been so long. It's been so much junk in your life. Can I just remind you of something this morning? You can never run to a place that his eye cannot see. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. God is always watching. God is always looking. God always has an extended hand. You've never gone so far away from him that he cannot see and that he does not care. You might feel a little embarrassed about where you're at, but I want to tell you something this morning. You may be praying, Lord, remember me, but I'm just telling you this morning, he's never forgotten you. He's never forgotten you. Your sin does not hide his love for you. Your iniquity, your disobedience, it doesn't matter to him. There's always a hand of grace that's extended. Isn't that great, Generations Church? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Happiness and fulfillment do not come through things or people. True happiness and fulfillment come through a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, one of the most famous stories that Jesus told was about a young man that walked away from God, called it the prodigal. And what makes that story famous is not that the man walked away from God, but it was the reaction of the father when he came home. He didn't point a finger. Didn't have sharp words, didn't say, I told you so. What did he do? He ran to him, he hugged him, he threw him a great party. If you're concerned, like, what happens when I come back to the Lord? Can I just tell you this morning, they'll be rejoicing in heaven if you make that decision today. I'll be so happy. So let's look at the very end of the story. He pushes the pillars, you know, the end. He pushes the pillars, the ceiling of the temple. It falls in on all the Philistines, kills all of them, and it also kills Samson as well. It's the end of the story. What can we learn? He never fulfilled the plan that God had for him because he never conquered the trouble areas of his life. Okay? Now, his path and your path will be very similar. There are things that God wants you to do. There are things that God leads you, and there's a direction that God has for you. But there's always junk that we have to deal with along the way. Nobody is born junk free. Okay? So everybody's got to deal with stuff, internal stuff, family stuff, life stuff, church stuff. Everybody's got to kind of deal with that. So nobody's born, you know, kind of with the clean slate, and you just go for it. So God, you know, what did we learn? He never fulfilled the plan that God had for him because he never conquered the trouble areas of his life. He was a slave. He was a slave to them. So when you read the story about Samson, you continually read about failure. That's why we titled this Wasted Opportunity, Wasted Life. Where are the great exploits? Where do we read, you know, the story of Samson, kind of like Moses had the Red Sea, or David had Goliath, or Gideon had the 300. You don't read anything about that, about Samson, because he refused to deal with some stuff that was on the inside of his heart. And it cost him. It cost him. His most faithful moment to God resulted in his death. He was not a deliverer. He was a martyr. What a sad end to such a promising story. Now, here's what I want to ask you. So what do you feel like God's purpose is for you on this earth? Okay, so let me qualify that. If you're married, I know you want to be a great spouse. If you're a parent, you want to be a great parent. If you are, you know, we want our walk with God to be solid, powerful, and personal. But outside of those, what do you feel like God's purpose for you is here? And whatever that answer is, then I would say to you, then you need to make that a priority for your life. It needs to be up top. You need to make decisions that support, you know, that priority, that purpose that God has laid in your path. Samson never did that. He knew he had this great purpose and plan, but his decisions never brought him into that purpose. They only took him away from that purpose. So what do you feel like God's purpose is for you on this earth? Now, some of you may not know that. You may still be struggling, you know, with, well, what does God have for me? What does God want me to do? That's legitimate, especially if you're younger and you're kind of wrestling through that. That's a good prayer point, you know, for your life. Or, you know, some of you, you know, maybe you've known what that purpose is, and man, you haven't made decisions to make sure that purpose is a priority in your life. Matt, worship team, you guys can come. I mean, I didn't set out to be in the ministry, you know, like I was raised in church, Sunday school, church. My mother was in the choir. We not only went to church on Sunday night, we went to choir practice before. Wednesday night. I mean, look, I was trying to go to church less in my life, not be a pastor and be here every time. It wasn't something, you know, that I had planned for my life. I didn't seek it. I didn't want it. I just knew there was a lot of church. There's a lot of church. But, you know, there was a moment in a church service when I was, you know, about 17, 18, and turned my life over to God. And I knew in that moment that God had called me to the preaching ministry. I knew it. The light bulb went on, and I had that moment. And from then on, I tried to make every decision in my life to support the purpose that God had for me. I tried to keep junk out of my life, tried to make decisions that would bring me ultimately into that purpose. Now, I'm just saying to you, so my question was, do you know what your purpose is? Now, if you don't, man, I'll be glad to pray with you, talk with you if you don't really know where that's at. Or some of you have known what that purpose is, but man, you've strayed. You've strayed. Your secondary choices that you've made over the course of your life have not brought you in alignment with the purpose that God has for you. Your decisions have gone one way, but your heart says something else. Just like Samson. I'm going to be a deliverer. Then he's in Gaza sleeping the prostitute. Doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. So maybe you're here today. You've made choices away from your purpose. And that's okay. That's okay. But today I'm going to give you the opportunity to go, Lord, no. I know where I'm supposed to be. And Lord, I'm gonna bring this back under control. I'm gonna make your purpose for my life a priority for my life. And that means with all my decisions, it's gonna support that purpose. Maybe you're here today. Years of spiritual neglect, I talked about that early, have just kind of taken root on your life. You know, just maybe you've kind of constructed this life with a very minimal influence of God. You know about him, come to church from time to time, but really you've kind of constructed this life kind of like Samson. Very, very minimal presence of God there. I just want to tell you this morning. Hey, I just want to tell you. He's not here to throw a stone. He's just here to, you know, we're not going to go back and rewrite the chapters. We're just going to turn a new page this morning. Can't go back and undo all of that. Maybe you're like Samson, Lord, remember me. It's been so long. You feel like you gotta introduce yourself to the Lord. Do you remember me? Or maybe it's just been this long season of kind of doing your own thing, living your own way. And what has that got you? Where's that brought you to this morning?
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.